Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. Yeah. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And welcome back to it. We are live at Leichhardt Oval. Thanks to all the tweets and messages that have come through in the last couple of minutes. People listening on their way home from the city to surf. Glad you enjoyed and glad it was another successful day in the run from the city to Bondi Beach. 14Ks in all. We've got a game kicking off at 2 o'clock this afternoon. An important one for the Raiders up against the Warriors. We'll have score updates from that game thanks to Tyre Power. So far this weekend, pardon me, it's been Rabbitohs beating the Dogs, Knights over Para, Broncos over Sharks, Dragons over Titans, Storm beat the Roosters and Penrith beat the Cowboys. That's all thanks to Tyre Power, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Anthony Maroon. Another big story in the paper today, and I'm reading from Michael Carayannis again in the Sunday Telly, who suggests Canterbury could be forced to release star recruits Aaron Woods and Kieran Foran even before they get on the field, because they are about $1 million over next year's NRL salary cap. How on earth could this possibly happen? Paul Kent, you've got it in front of you. I'm going to start with you, mate. Surely, and if Aaron Woods, not to throw too many questions at once, but if Aaron Woods didn't go to the Dogs, would the Tigers, they'd be over the cap too now trying to hang on to him, wouldn't they?
Oh, look, I don't know if the Tigers would be over the cap. It'd be certainly a discussion the club would have. The problem the Bulldogs have got is they went off early, and we've spoken about this. They've been in at the NRL this week trying to sort something out, because the problem for the Bulldogs is their two big recruits for next year, Aaron Woods and Kieran Foran, have not had their contracts registered by the NRL, because both would put them over the cap. So the club has been told they need to find space under the cap, and then the players' contracts will be registered for Foran and Woods. Now, if they can't get those players and move them off their books, the NRL simply won't register them, which will leave both players available to renegotiate with other clubs. Where they end up, we don't know. We know that some clubs are well under the salary cap and are waiting for a fire sale. It's an interesting prospect, because the NRL sent out message emails to the clubs earlier this year, telling them to work towards a cap of $9.15 million, I think it was. And they had no right to do that. I spoke to Ian Prendergast, the chief executive of the Rugby League Players Association, this week about that. And he said, we never agreed on any amount for the NRL to put out. So the NRL's taken it on their own initiative to put out a $9.14, $15 million salary cap proposal to the clubs to work towards. Now, what we do know is that the salary cap, where they have agreed at this point, is at 8.8. So that even the NRL has overshot their own mark. Now, in that 8.8, they've agreed to $8.4 million in cash, to $300,000 in a long service player payment, which they're basically going to roll into the cash again, because it's just a stupid little clause that really is irrelevant. And then they've also agreed to a $100,000 car allowance, which takes up to 8.8. Now, where the NRL gets its figure of 9.1415 from is essentially because the NRL has also proposed a $400,000 integrity bonus, whereby that money will go into the clubs, but when a player messes up and embarrasses the game or whatever, then what will happen is that money will come out. The NRL will fine the club, and it'll come out of the integrity bonus. And the clubs have got a real issue with this, and I can see why. In principle, it can almost make sense, because of what it does. It says to players, this is the NRL's idea about the integrity bonus. The way it works for them is their $400,000 sits there, and if you play up, we're going to take $50,000. I'll make the numbers easy. They'll take $40,000 fine out of that, which is 10% of that $400,000. So therefore, the club then says to its players, "You're all going to lose 10% of whatever your contracted amount is." So that comes out of the players' end. And what the NRL then hopes to do is that the senior players will then steer the guys who are hopefully the younger guys messing up and say, mate, listen, you're costing me money, pull your head in, stop misbehaving. And that will drive better behaviour within the NRL. The clubs say the reality is that when they lose money and the NRL is told, the NRL tells them that they've lost money and it's going to come out, and the players are told that you're going to have to get fined here, the players will ostracise the player who is costing them money, which, from your point of view, fair call?
Fair call.
You think that it would ostracise the player within the club?
Oh, it all depends, mate.
Depends on the player,
leadership.
Probably.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it depends on the leadership and how many times. And
but there's
like
a fair
would take. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because there is, you know, part of you where you've got to behave, and when you sign a contract, there are certain rules that you should live by.
Yeah, and look, we all know, and there's no blanket rule for anybody within the game, within a club. Some players mess up and club will go to every length to try and cover it up. Others, the club will use that as an excuse to move the player on.
Won't one of the issues here be, though, PK, the consistency through policing and finding? Like, who's going to control that aspect of the NRL, the integrity unit?
Well,
because we've seen in the past, some of the things that they've done in relation, we can go right back to the Brett Stewart thing.
In theory, but the other part too, Gurge, is that what clubs won't admit to, but they all admit other clubs will do it, which is a concession that they're thinking of it, is that they won't divulge various incidents. At the moment, we see when a player gets himself in trouble, they inform the integrity. They don't do it all the time. They pretend they do. But if they think they can keep it quiet, they do. But if it's a chance of getting out, they inform the integrity unit. And what they'll do now is, if they think there's a fine involved and they're going to lose some of that $400,000, that they won't inform the integrity unit. And they'll basically run the gauntlet. If they find out, they're okay, we get our fine. If they don't find out, good, we've got through, and the players keep their cash.
Well, then the NRL, I'm pretty sure they should be smart enough to go, well, if you don't tell us and we find out, the fine's double.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure the NRL will do that, Gordon. Yeah. But do you
think it's a good idea for them to put that in the...
I think in theory it works. I think in reality it doesn't. I think there's nothing... Look.
So what do you put in there, Paul?
I just think you've got to give them the cash, because I think when you're trying to drive player behaviour, I don't think doing that will drive it, because there's too many spin-offs about how it gets handled. I think the NRL essentially has got to do it the way it's doing now, where it comes in and it runs in tech. I don't think they do a particularly good job of investigating a lot of stuff anyway. But I think they've got to basically better police it, and they've got to be consistent in their process, and they've got to. This sounds harsh, but I think they've got to be a little bit more severe with their penalties, and really make it clear that what's tolerated and what's not tolerated. We've got so many shades of grey regarding player behaviour in the game at the moment. But the one thing is,
doesn't this help? Isn't this making them more accountable? Go, hold on, boys. The club's sick of, you know, trying to sweep it under the carpet, and the carpet's that full.
It will.
So there's no more of that. And then I think who handled it the best was when Phil Gould, it was Michael Jennings, and I don't know the amount of money, just say it was $20,000, and he had to go buy tickets, and he had to walk around at games and give it out.
It was a great idea, but that's
fantastic.
But that's not in this rule. That's not in this.
But that's pretty much what will happen. So out of that $40,000, you would think that the game would send that guy or go around to the schools and do a ticket drop, whatever area that handed. You know,
why wouldn't you just fine the player himself rather than penalise his whole?
Well, that's what the club can do.
But the way it works is it comes out of a percentage. Says they're trying to change player behaviour. I think in principle, or in theory, it works.
So
in theory,
if I was
it works.
At the club,
but it's very hard to.
If I was at the club and we say, okay, but we got $400,000 now on.
Okay,
on,
but Gordon, let me ask you this: if I'm playing at the Broncos and I go out and I get outrageously drunk and I offend a dozen different people, which is Saturday night for me. If I go out and do that...
And Sundays
sometimes. but if I go out and do that and I'm on the front page of the paper the next day and I turn up at training and everybody knows we're going to get fined, okay? And you're playing there and your CEO walks up to you and says, Gordon, Kenty's just messed up last night. The NRL's going to fine him. He's only on $80,000, so he's going to only lose $8,000, only 10% of his. Mate, you're on $800,000, so you can lose $80,000. So, mate, sorry about that, but unfortunately, that's what's going to happen. What would your response be?
No, well, it can't be because isn't there only 400,000?
400,000.
So whatever it is to make up that money in the pool and to make it fair. So if I paid 80, well, then, you mean, that's way but more that, than what he's going to get fined.
The way it works is a percentage, though.
Okay, well, he's got to cop that. And when you're on that big money, no, because when you're on that big contract, right, so when you sign that big contract, part of the deal is, yes, you're recognised, people buy your jersey, you are part of the dream.
You're home in bed. But what I'm saying, you're home in bed. You're home in bed, and I've gone out and messed up.
But I won't get fined 80,000. What should happen is, well, and then this is what I do. I'd say, okay, so we got a $400, you know, box here full of money, and if you bugger up, this is what's going to happen. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pass it on to the player. It is simple as that. So no matter what it is, whatever the fine is, you are going to
cop it. You as a senior player are not going to take any of a pay cut. You're going to the junior player, the person
who does it. Yes, absolutely. Take some accountability for your own actions. And if you do that, this is the so put it in black and white. Put it on your board in your team room. If you play up, this is what it'll cost you: 10%, 15%, or whatever of your contract. That's it.
Now, fellas, just
simple as that.
Just if we could leave that for a second.
I can't work as a, I'm not even going to do the maths here because look. The point you can't just say if I'm on $80,000 and the club is fined $100,000, okay, for what I've done, okay, what happens then? What happens then? The club's fined $100,000. It comes out of that $400,000. There's only $300,000 now to spread between the entire playing group.
Well, pretty much. If you're on $80,000, you're one of those fill-in guys. You probably get your contract torn up and you get moved on.
Okay,
and the $80,000 comes back to us.
No, it doesn't come back. It's gone. The NRL. No, you don't get the cash back. Well, it's gone.
Well, then he's gone, and then you take the bill for that, and then that's what it's about. But if he's big enough and he can afford it, well, he pays it. But all those minnows that can't, well, then they just get their contract torn up, and that's the price you've got to pay.
Yeah, it can work, but I tell you what, it's going to cause some problems.
Hang on, just fellas, I just want to bring this back to where we started, the dramas at the Dogs, before we go move on to the next thing. So there's also some talk in the telly today about Chairman Ray Dibb coming under fire with plans at the February elections with Paul Dunn working behind the scenes to get some support. So there's some dramas with that salary cap at the Dogs. Obviously there's some dramas with their performances on the field. They were awful again the other night against the Rabbitohs. Never looked
I like just winning. Thought Rabbits were that good.
Rabbits are too good, I know. But now we've got some dramas that might surface in the elections in February. It's not often that we do see this great club with so many problems in so many different areas.
But this isn't new. This is the whole backstory to what's going on at Canterbury because there's this groundswell of sentiment at the moment that the Dogs have got to sack Dez. Now, the Bulldogs board's holding strong, saying, no, sacking Dez is not the problem. There are other ways to get out of this predicament we're currently in. But the board is under pressure because of these elections coming up because unlike the old days where the members were kept very small, where boards used to go unopposed for year after year, decades at Canterbury. I think Canterbury went 29 years unopposed as a board. What happens now is you have members who have a direct vote, and if they're not happy, they don't care about anything else that's going on at the club. If they're not happy with the way they're performing on the field, they go in and they say either the board, you make the coach accountable, or we will make you the board accountable. And what's happened is Paul Dunn has been around, and he's been a board member at the club before. He's been obviously one of the great players at the club, and he has an interest in getting back on the board and doing things differently than the way they are done now. And that is the spectre that's hanging over the current board, that if they don't move on Dez, which they don't want to do
because they made the decision in the first place,
they still believe they've made the right decision.
Do you think they have?
Doesn't matter what I think.
Do you think they have, Gordon?
No, but no, mate. I think they've made the wrong decision.
Why would they have made the wrong decision?
Well, because right now I reckon that to save their jobs, I reckon they'll get rid of Dez.
Yeah, well,
because either they got to go or Dez has got to go, and that's the predicament they've put themselves in.
And that's
in.
What we're talking about. That's what's going on. So, if they don't move on Dez themselves, then there's every chance a new board, which will be timed to perfection about when it announces itself, it'll get a public sentiment of a lot of positivity, and everybody will say this is what we need. And look, Paul Dunn's a very smart man. He'll operate in a way that's Yeah, basically flawless. And I think once he announces, if he does, I'm not sure he will, but if he does, and it's looking increasingly likely, then I think he will get voted in, because I think he's intelligent enough and he's smart, you know, clever enough to be able to actually do it and at the right time with the right public sentiment. He understands the way Bulldogs fans are thinking, and they'll come in and they'll be voted in. And that's what this current board's dealing with at the moment.
Terry Lamb started rumbling about 12 months ago, and I asked Ray Dibb, and he sort of just didn't answer that question. Oh, yeah, you asked me four questions. But when you got a club legend, probably the greatest ever Bulldog, that wasn't happy and said that Desi doesn't fit in and a new signing, I think someone's got to go.
When you said, PK, that the Players Association don't believe that the NRL were within their rights to leak that number or give, you know, the information that the salary cap's going to be that amount, what were they supposed to do? What were the clubs then supposed to go off? They need to give them some indication, surely.
That's fair call, Gertz. They did need to give them some indication.
Isn't it just...
But the Players Association have not agreed to any amount.
But isn't it poor administration then to go and sign players within over $1 million of what you've been tipped off?
Not really, Gertz, because it did start out at $10 million. And so the clubs have got proactive and went out and signed their players early.
No, but they haven't. The Bulldogs players have been signed in the middle of the year, well after they got that number.
Yeah, some of them have, yeah. And I think that they thought that they could, that the NRL and the Players Association would renege on that early agreement. But it's a funny one. The Players Association, they're very frustrated by how long this is taking. And we're now... Hopefully it's done in the next few weeks. I've heard a little bit of a whisper that Todd Greenberg, the NRL CEO, and Ian Prendergast, the RLPA CEO, will meet this week, and there's some sort of hope that by the end of a fortnight, they will be at some point where they can agree on things. Hopefully that happens. But, the whole thing's been... I think it's been poorly managed across the board. Some clubs have done a very poor job. Some clubs have got lucky. Look, let's be honest. Newcastle sit down. We had Brownie on last week saying, we're going to sit down, we're going to pick up who's available. They've had a crack at everybody and haven't landed a fish.
Yeah.
So they've got lucky. They've tried to sign various players and missed out.
But do you
know
why? Because they've tried to sign them under the salary cap.
Not necessarily. You don't know that.
Well, he said it.
No, but they've lost players. They've tried to sign players and
because they can't go with them because people are going on that.
They went after Jack Bird, and Jack Bird went to Brisbane. They went after other Connor Watson. Where's he gone?
Fellas, just before we go any further.
Newcastle.
He went there.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Now,
sort of.
The chair.
Good player, Connor Watson.
Gordon, just give me a second here. This involves you. The chair and the CEO of the Gold Coast Titans will tomorrow meet with Neil Henry and Jared Hayne to seek further explanation of recent developments and determine the appropriate course forward. These distractions are demoralising to our entire playing group, members, sponsors, and everyone who supports the Titans. The issues involved must be addressed in the best interest of the club's future. CEO Graham Annesley will be available to the media after the meeting's taken place tomorrow. That's from David Spall, who is the Titans media manager. So more to come on that. Still to come on Sunday, Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. We've got Holden Cup about to kick off with the West Tigers to take on a Manly outfit. And what we will do is catch up with Tigers legend John Skandalis. That's all coming up on Sunday, Triple M NRL. One, two, three,
four. Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Sunday, Triple M NRL.
And we are live at beautiful Leichhardt Oval. It's a lovely, sunny Sydney day, and the crowd really starting to build for this game, a traditional home of rugby league, Leichhardt Oval. And we do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. And, of course, we've got a game coming up at 4 o'clock here this afternoon. Tigers Manly, Dan will call that game for you for Bryden's. And at 2 o'clock, we've got the Raiders-Warriors game. We'll have score updates right across the afternoon from that one as well. All thanks to Tyre Power. You buy three, you get one free on selected BF Goodrich passenger car tyres, SUV and sports performance tyres, used and recommended by the great Ryan Girdler, who is with us, Gordon Tallis, Paul Ken, Anthony Maroon, and a special guest in the studio, rugby league royalty, played almost 300 first grade games, started off at the Magpies back in the mid-90s. The West Tigers, a small stint with Huddersfield, then back at the West Tigers to finish his career where he is currently employed, the great man Scando, John Skandalis. Welcome to the show, old mate.
Thank you for having me, guys. Good afternoon.
And you are looking exceptionally beautiful in that suit too, as well. What's going on in your life?
Oh, mate, just trying to look good for the club and, you know, represent well. So put the suit on to entertain our corporate guests and hopefully celebrate a win.
Has another man ever called you exceptionally beautiful?
First time, but, you know, there's a first for everything, isn't it?
Not the first time for Maroon, I'll tell you.
Skander, you said you have to entertain the clients. What do you do? Do you sing a few Billy Joel numbers? What do you do to entertain them?
I do what I do best, mate, is drink beer. So that's what they like now. I just make sure that everything's going all right and they're enjoying the day. And, you know, coming to football, you want to make sure it's entertaining and the hospitality's great. And, you know, of course, enjoy the game at the same time, so just make sure everything's right and they're enjoying their time in our corporate area.
And mates, from a corporate point of view, Justin Pascoe, I had a meeting with Justin a few weeks ago.
Did you, Maroon?
I did, mate. Yeah.
What?
Scandal, you're going to be out
in
of
what
job
capacity?
Soon.
What are you looking to do?
I'm not looking to do anything. I'm hosting a function for him, so we just got together to discuss that.
Okay.
But we did talk about the club, and really is going places on and off the field now. Membership, corporate, you know, player retention. It's going places, this brand.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's very exciting. You know, we're very proud of what we have achieved this year. I know on field we haven't exactly hit the heights that we wanted to, but in terms of, like you said, membership and corporate, you know, that's going up, and that's a big, very, very important for us, and we've got to keep doing that. And, you know, I think with the players that are coming in next year, it's just going to only get better.
Obviously, we sort of read the papers and you know the player movement, but are you close to the players, and they must have stuck pretty tight through this whole process?
Yeah, look, I help out with the 20s a little bit, so I get to see, you know, a little bit down there. And mate, they're all close. They want to finish the season on a high and the best that they can. You know, they don't want to just get, you know, rolled over every week. They want to finish a high. You know, it's well documented that we got Woodsy and Tedesco leaving, and you know, I know those two especially want to make sure they leave this place in the right you know, winning manner, I guess.
You know better than anyone what Benji will bring next year. So your thoughts on him coming back to the club, and what do you think the fans and members can expect from Benji?
Oh, mate, fantastic! Oh, that's probably the best news. You know, probably best news I've heard all year. I think he'll bring a lot of depth, a lot of experience. You know, I think the games that he's played this year with the Broncos, he showed what he's still got in his game. You know, with Brooks, he's still been. You know, I know Brooks has played. You know, 2013, I think he debuted. So he's, you know, he should be one of those guys who we rely on. But at the moment, I think he just needs a little bit of help. And Josh Reynolds there as well. And with a pack that I think that Ivan's build and Modolino and Packer, you know, I think he's just going to, I reckon he'll excel. He'll bring maturity to the team as well. You know, everyone remembers Benji of, you know, the past where you're flicking balls here and there and, you know, playing off the cuff. But now I think a little bit of maturity is going to help the rest of the team.
You're talking about Benji, and he's going to be in his 30s, and you've worked with the young Tigers for a while. Is there any good young kids coming through?
Yeah, we've got a big front row, Tom McCarley coming through. There's a Connolly, you know, can't say his surname, but a fullback, he's coming through. So we've got a few that will, I think, you know, obviously grew up watching Benji. They'll be excited to work with him. And, you know, I guess NRL squad at the moment watched Benji playing up. You know, they would have been there going through their juniors watching. So I think just those guys are going to, you know, really excel with Benji coming through.
And what has Ivan brought to the club that wasn't here before? Has Ivan changed much?
Calmness. Just being calm and wanting to play for the jersey. I think wanting to play for the team, you know. I think he's brought that into the club. What I see, and this is me looking from the outside in, you know, that's what I see. He's just brought calmness to the team, making sure that the players understand their job and their role in the team. And I think getting the best out of each player individually. And it's shown, you know, we've lost a few games, but we've also been very competitive in those losses. So I think next year's going to be, I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah, there's a sense around the whole club, though, not just Ivan, but with Pascoe in there and the recruitment that's gone on, the board has finally settled down in many ways, that the noise around the club has certainly quietened down, hasn't it?
Oh, it definitely has, mate. 6 months ago, I think we were on the back page every second day. And, you know, as much as players and staff and everyone else says it doesn't affect you, in the back of your mind, you know, that's, if you're hearing that every single day and you're reading that in the paper every single day, it's going to affect you somewhere. And it did, because some of our games, you know, let's admit it, early on were pretty poor. So something was going wrong, and that negative press wasn't helping us. But now that, you know, like you said, the board's, you know, all settled, coach has come in and he's done his thing, and the players understand, we know who's going, we know who's staying, and all they need to do is concentrate on football. And, you know, like I said, the last, you know, month or so, we've been pretty good on the field. And that's just going to improve next year, like I said, with Benji Carwin, Madalino, Packer, McQueen. You know, those guys are going to come in and really, you know, want to be successful because they're coming from a new team, from a new club.
How long do you think it'll be before the Tigers are genuine contenders?
Oh, well, that's a hard one, mate. I hope next year. That's what we're building. If you ask Ivan, I'm sure he's not going to say 2 or 3 years. He's going to say next year because, you know, he's bought some pretty quality players and they're not rookies. They're not young guys coming through. They're experienced players. So you want to expect pretty, you know, it's going to be tough. Sure, we'll talk about gelling and getting comfortable. But, you know, most of those players, I think, that he brought in have played together anyway. So that's going to become pretty quickly. So I'd like to say next year.
Scando, what about, we've heard stories. We're all in and around rugby league. And at one point I thought that Aaron Woods almost came out and said that perhaps he would have maybe he would have stayed at the club if things were a little bit different. Maybe he would have stayed. Now we're hearing stories that the Dogs are over the salary cap and they might have to tip one or two out. Would your club, this is all hypothetical, but would the Tigers be in a position to ask Aaron to come back with open arms, or have they spent that money?
Oh, mate, that's not a question for me. I wish I could answer that, but I wish I could say yes. We would welcome you back. But there, I guess that's when you have your next coffee with Justin, mate, you can ask him your question.
Yeah, why didn't you ask it, eh? Then?
Why didn't you ask it? Where's the journalist?
I was just advising him on a few other things.
Mate, look, if I was a CEO, mate, or board, or whatever, who makes those decisions, I'll say yes, I wish I could welcome him back. But, you know, like, and I'm sure Woods is sitting there. He just wants to play football. Whatever happens with the Bulldogs and the salary cap, he's just sitting back and let his manager take care of it because he wants to finish. He's got 2 games left at Leichhardt possibly, and he wants to make sure he leaves a winner.
Okay, mate. Well, the only other thing is today, a beautiful afternoon. You played a lot of your footy here at Leichhardt Oval. Or you came from the Magpies side of the street into the West Tigers, but you know the history and the tradition of this ground, and it's just bloody beautiful conditions for it, and the ground looks fantastic for a great game today.
Mate, it's fantastic. I was playing out there before about 11 o'clock with some corporates who paid to go on the field, and mate, the weather's great, the sun's shining, it's nice and warm. You know, we always have a good clash with Manly, West Tigers and Magpies and Balmain, so it's going to be definitely a tough match. Manly are playing very well at the moment and they've got a lot to play for, so and so have we, so I reckon we'll get them by 2 points though.
Hey Scando, I don't know, did you play under Tommy?
Yeah, I did, mate.
got any Tommy stories for us?
Not on air, I don't know.
No, really? What an experience. Okay, that mate, must have been there.
Hit the button.
All right, Scando, always good to catch up with you, mate.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure. Hope we can celebrate with a win with a few beers for you guys after the game.
Mate. Yeah, good on you, mate. There he is. Rugby league royalty around here. John Scandalis joining us on Sunday, Triple M NRL. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers with Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent and Anthony Maroon. We don't have kickoff yet at our other game, Raiders Warriors. As soon as we get a score, we'll update for you. Thanks to Tyre Power. How would you like to be a rugby league commentator on Triple M? Oh, geez, you've got to be really good to do that. And we'll give you the opportunity with a thing called The Voice. And we'll do that next, along with the Triple M NRL randomizer. But where will it land today? We'll find out shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Leichhardt Oval. Today, our match of the day, West Tigers versus Manly. Can the West Tigers be of some nuisance value to Manly going into the finals in a few weeks' time? Which, by the way, you'll get all your finals rugby league right here on the Triple M Network, the station you are listening to, or via the app at triplem.com.au. Our number is 133353, and right now it's time for this.
The Triple M Footy Voice.
Yes, so what we're doing here over the last few weeks, we've been asking people to send us their best rugby league commentary. The winner will get a commentating experience. How good would that be? A commentating experience in the NRL. Tickets to the NRL Grand Final. How good are they? And who knows, possibly the start of a new career with Triple M. Yeah, a new career. Regos are now closed, all right? So here we are. We've got a couple of montages of our entries. Here is our first entries. Al Jarvis, Albie Tallarico, Chris Edge-Williams, Paul, I think that says Gwashenka, and Reuben Campbell as well. Let's have a listen to that lot.
AJ from Putney, New South Wales.
Hadley turns and goes out after him with Fordham and Jones in pursuit. Maroon, he's 20 metres out from the try line. He's blowing a boot en route to the try line, but they won't catch him. Anthony Maroon has scored straight between the uprights. 1 minute to go. Ryan Girdler will kick from straight in front to give the Triple M NRL team a 6-2 victory.
LB from Randwick, New South Wales.
Last tackle now to the Eagles. Centre field now underneath the cross post on that northern end. Comes across Riccardi. Left foot kick. They've just got a ball on it. We've got a try. We've got a try. Brilliant try to Michael Oldfield.
Chris from the Rainbar, Queensland.
Fifth tackle now for the Bulldogs. And by a dummy half to Grahams. Down to Bock play for Canterbury to Reynolds. Reynolds finds Frawley. Hooping cutout ball to the right. Interception by Kahu. Kahu's over the 50. Morris is coming. Kahu's over the 40. Great cover defence by Brett Morris.
Paul from Penhurst, New South Wales.
Drawing the fullback, Hopawale. Bevan French looming up, and he goes in. Well, he's a noted try scorer, French. Put him on the wing, put him at fullback. It doesn't matter. He finds his way to the try line. He knows how to get there, the boy from Tinga. And that is a great try for Parramatta. 10-0 right in front of the posts for Brighton's Lawyers.
Ruben from Kiama Heights, New South Wales.
He gets the offload away back to Coruscant. Here come Manly on the attack. Daly Cherry Evans on the halfway line. What a beautiful cutout ball that is to Dylan Walker. Puts a nice little step on. Flick pass to Aquile Iwate. He goes bolting down the touchline. What about that inside pass?
There we are.
Was that last one another chopper?
I think he was doing one of those 0055 numbers there, that last one. But on your Ruben, good stuff, mate. So too Paul Grzadka from Penshurst, Chris from Narangbar, Albi Tallarico from Randwick, and AJ Jarvis from Putney, not Putney, as that fella said. So, fellas, did you like any of those? Any tips you'd like to add there, Ryan Girdler?
No, I liked all of those. Yeah, I thought there was some real talent there. There was one guy, he was
right
only
in the middle.
Short. But,
how do you know he was short?
Well, his entry was short.
Right, Albie.
And I'd like to hear a little bit more of Albie. I thought he had some potential. And as you know, Maroon, we are looking for someone in Brisbane.
Yeah, because you had that background noise as well. You know,
Albi Tallarico.
Yeah, you need to have a holiday at some point. Yeah. You sound a little bit flat at the moment.
Well, because I know you want to come up to Brisbane and look at all your properties.
Oh, so turn it up.
So then maybe you can come up and white ant, and then the other bloke can come down here.
The standard's gone up in them, though. It's like they've sat at home, they've listened to them, thought, God, is this all we're dealing with? Yeah. I might throw in mine. So they've got better.
Yeah.
And Maroon, you're now in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. Well, I could be.
I think all three of them.
Suddenly, mate, you're looking in the rear vision mirror.
Well, I tell you what mate, if you like.
The white ant's already gone. No hope against those.
So we've got a new caller for Brisbane already. We just need. All right, let's.
Yeah, they're now working on Sydney.
Let's have a listen to these. Our second group.
Let's hope they're not too good for you.
Of finalists: Adam Lineker, Donnie Bell, Elliot Richardson, Ryan Eckford, and what about this for a name for a rugby league commentator? Samuel St. George.
Oh, that's all time.
Come on, Sandon. From Newcastle, New South Wales.
He shifts it out to Addo Carr, and Addo Carr is away. He's beaten Uwate, he all ends up. He's up over the 40, the 50. Here he comes to Tommy Turbo. In and away. Oh, look at him go. What does the fox say? He says, see you later, Tommy Turbo. It's 4-0 on the Coast Hire scoreboard. Scintillating stuff by Melbourne.
Johnny from Averley, WA.
Great run there from Piper Crane from almost nothing. It goes to Edwards. Edwards on five. Goes across. Great ball to Gibson. Gibson into a bit of space. Flicks that out the back. It'll be picked up by Nichols. It's still the last. Jason Nichols, they've got numbers here. It goes across and ends up with Reggie Mardo in the corner.
Elliot from Oxley Park, New South Wales.
Flick pass to Raj Raja. Semi, he's down the left wing. He's got French looming up in support. Edwards is coming across in cover. Semi, he throws the big dummy. He leaves Edwards clutching at thin air. The Fijian flyer will touch down under the posts. And the Eels jump out to a 10-0 lead over the Panthers in the first 5 minutes.
Ryan from Beresfield, New South Wales.
Blair gets it away to Milford. Milford gets it away off to Moga. Moga is away. Gets it off to Pearson. Pearson away. French chasing after him. French has got a hold of him and brings him down 2 metres away.
Samuel from Bondi, New South Wales.
Boom off his right. He stands up. Well, who was that? Sean Johnson looks up. He kicks it to the corner. There's someone in the... That's Marmalo, and it sits up for Ken Marmalo. What a try from the Warriors. Well, well, well.
Well, there it is, boys. It's a hard competition there, but these guys are through to the finals.
Yep.
To be joining the Dan Ganane call team on grand final day. Might even do a little bit of a call. Grand final tickets.
all the trimmings, meet all the stars, get a selfie with Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis and the like. What did you say about that second batch? Paul Kent, let me go firstly to you.
I like them. Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I'd say to one thing, if you're going to send in your audition tape, pick easy names to say.
Yeah.
Because when you struggle and get caught on a rud rud rud, it's just unnecessary. Yeah. It just takes away from the energy and voice you bring into the call. You just pick simple names so you can just move through it and back to my other advice a couple of weeks back, just leave yourself another gear to go to.
Yeah, and look, the thing is, if you're doing it, you can always cheat. Just record it on the Fox League. Go through it, rewind it, go through it again. But there you go. Those guys are already through to the final. So in my mind, they're already winners, that lot.
There's a couple of good ones there.
Bloody oath there was. Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallison.
What advice would you like to give him, Maroon?
I'd like more to importantly. Say, you know, it's one of those things you just got to keep trying and doing it and doing it and doing it. Take the advice and just keep getting better.
Your advice should be take up bus driving. Keeps you in a job.
What I should have done. Brent Reid joins us shortly. We've got Ivan Cleary will join us well after 2-2 to talk about the game this afternoon. But that interview we were talking about earlier with Jared Hayne on Sunday Triple M NRL, we'll come back to that very shortly. And Brent Reid, looking very tanned and very handsome, joins us next on Sunday Triple M NRL as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks Sunday Arvo footy for Brighton's lawyers. Protecting your future.